Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ay. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ay.
Certainly is here on this Friday morning. Taz and the Moose with you. Bogus sitting in. Taz is off. Mark Malouse is taking you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Hour left to play with in an action-packed first couple hours as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Pete and Sam across the way. Bogus not only sitting with me, but also doing updates over the course of the morning. A lot of NBA, a little bit of NHL as the Stanley Cup Finals will get going. We're down to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals of the NBA. What do you need to know here on this Friday morning before a holiday weekend? Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Raptors come back to stun the Bucks in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, down 14 early. I believe it was 18-4 to begin the game. And it looked like maybe the Toronto Raptors were going to get run out of the building. They were able to settle it down. They hit a ton of threes. You have Van Fleet hitting seven of them off the bench. They outscored. They were plus 20 in bench points. They were plus 24 behind the arc. And that was what leads to the what ultimately ended up being the six-point victory last night in Milwaukee as the Raptors win as big of a road game, probably their biggest road game victory in franchise's history last night, as that key series is going to head back to Toronto, Bogus, with Toronto leading the series 3-2, Game 6 Saturday night in what will be an unreal scene with Drake and friends up in Toronto.
really remarkable turnaround to date by these Raptors. I thought Milwaukee was better going into the series. I thought they were going to win the series when it began. Then they won the first two games, and in ways that was what kind of reconfirmed why I thought they were better. And now they haven't won since then. And last night, they looked like a team in their first Eastern Conference final, not making the small plays that matter in tight games, late in series that are tied 2-2. And the Raptors steal this win behind an all-time Kawhi Leonard fourth quarter. A great game from him all, you know, overall. And the Raptors go back home to hang with Drake, who has pseudo-guaranteed a win either in Game 6 or Game 7 to get them to the NBA Final for the first time in franchise history. God forbid they do win for the Drake factor alone, because if you think he has been unbelievably annoying to date, Moose, if they are actually Eastern Conference champions, he's going to hit an all-time high slash low, depending on how you look at it, at pretending as if he had a hand in them winning this series.
Oh, well, yes.
I mean, look out if they win Game 6, well, what he's going to say and do after that.
And maybe Milwaukee's focus, Budenholzer's focus, he was asked a question about it. It's become a little bit too much about Drake. They talked about that during the pregame show on TNT last night. I mean, let bygones be bygones. He had some very funny poster board signs as they were doing the live pregame show outside the arena last night, Bogish. But you know, for Milwaukee, you know, it's a fascinating series when you look at it. Because some teams get off the deck, some don't. And what you saw for Toronto is they've gotten off the deck, because I think a lot of people discounted them after the first two games of the series. And they survived Game 3. And they needed to survive a game, and they did in Game 3 and win the overtime thriller against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then they ran Milwaukee off the court in Game 4. And last night survived the initial surge from Milwaukee and were there at the end. I mean, how brilliant is Kawhi? He's had 11 30-point games, 30-plus point games here in the postseason. No other players have had more than seven. He's been remarkable. He understands the pressure and the onus that's on him game in and game out. Takes it all in. We know he's not 100% healthy. late in games. He scored 15 in the fourth quarter last night when they needed it most. Is able to slow the game down, as Hubie Brown said, almost play the game in slow motion. He's remarkable. And as he goes, you know, I know it's not a mano matchup, but if you're going to compare the two superstars, it's not even close of just how good, how much better Kawhi has been in this series as compared to Giannis.
I would pay a lot of money, money I do not currently possess, to have a fourth quarter, even just a couple of those two threes midway through the fourth, stepping back over Brook Lopez, bottom of the net, quieting a crowd on the road in a big spot. I just want to experience that once. And that's a feeling.
Yeah.
To make a big play, especially on the road, quiet the crowd down. You can walk back on the floor doing a little shush thing or whatever you want. I mean, like that, to have that skill and that desire, which is maybe more so than the skill, because all those guys can shoot, obviously, but
right.
He wants it.
No,
he knows how to go get it. And he makes good on that. I was the guy, like, playing baseball, like, don't hit it to me in a big spot. Like, let Brian handle this ground ball. Don't come my way. To want it, to need it, to go get it like he does, and other guys do, it's damn impressive, and I'm super jealous of it.
Yeah, here is Nick Nurse, their head coach, the Raptors, that is, talking about his star's ability.
You know, he has been unbelievable in the playoffs with the Spurs as well. But, you know, you're not as close to it. You know, heck, you might not even have seen all the games or whatever, you know. But again, you know, I can only state that he's been really good. And it seems like he's, I don't know, it doesn't look like there's, you know, he gets stronger as the fourth wears on.
Well, it does. And he's able to almost will his team. He talked about Kawhi did during his postgame presser last night. You know, this is why I put in all my work that I do during the course of the summer. For moments like this, I want the big shot. I want to take the big shot. And that's exactly what Kawhi Leonard has done. Now, Toronto, the question is from Milwaukee is, can they get themselves off the deck? You know, looking at that game six on Saturday night, Andrew, I think there's a better chance of Milwaukee losing that game
by
14 to 20 points as compared to Milwaukee, that being a nip-and-tuck game down the stretch.
Well, I mean, here we go with Giannis. I mean, this is to put the onus on him, and he is an absolute elite player, two-time now, back-to-back first-team All-NBA selection. We know all the talent he has. He's got to play game six the way Kawhi played game five. And he's got to, what he has to do in particular is he's got to refine that line where he plays at, where he's on the good side of his recklessness and his athleticism. I thought, we said this back in hour number one, I thought at times he was trying too hard, forcing too many things. They've got to spend a lot of time right now, him by himself, them as a team, with the staff, figuring out how he can attack and be successful by scoring or passing to get everybody else going, because he needs to be great, but he's not going to win that game by himself. The game's got to flow through him like it did for Kawhi and the Raptors last night. But he's going to need 30, 35 points and near double-digit assists. They got to almost flip the script exactly to win this one tomorrow night.
I give him a 35% chance of winning that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, that seems right about. I might go a little closer to 50-50, but, you know,
I think that's a toss-up game.
It's not a toss-up game, but I might get north of 40%. It might be closer to a toss-up. It's possible that they get run out of the building, but I don't think that's the most likely outcome. I think the Raptors are going to win. I think you and I are back here Monday morning, and I think we're going to have our first thoughts on a Raptors-Warriors final.
Yep.
But I think Milwaukee will make Toronto sweat it till the end.
And you know what? If you look at Kawhi, if Leonard is able to take down and win a championship up in Toronto and take down Golden State, it'll be one of the great championships in NBA history.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that we're putting the cart before the horse. The Milwaukee Buck fan is saying, wait, hold on a second. We won 60 games in the regular season. We got the MVP of the league on our team. Give us a shot on Saturday night. I understand. I think Toronto gets there. I have a hard time with the way Milwaukee's playing right now and just looking out, one team seems to be trending down, the other up. I have a hard time envisioning Milwaukee going into Toronto and win that game. But we'll see. I mean, that was an ultimate gut check victory last night for the Raptors. Dealt with the pressure early on. We're able to bounce back. That's your first big headline.
I'm trying to think the last time the Maple Leafs played for the Stanley Cup. I know the last time they won it was, what, like 67?
Yeah, it's been a long time since they were in a Stanley Cup final.
So Toronto on the verge of having the Blue Jays and the Raptors play for their title more recently than the Leafs.
I mean, they were in some conference finals.
Right, '93 they lost to Gretzky and the Kings.
Correct.
And that was a conference final.
Correct. Yeah, when
I don't know the last time they played for the Stanley Cup.
I don't remember what.
Good job, John Tavares.
There you go. Yes. All right. Next.
Number two.
When will Kevin Durant return to the Warriors?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a health update out in Golden State yesterday. Number one is that Boogie Cousins is back at practice. He might not be practicing at full speed, but he's back at practice. And, you know, they're hopeful, the Warriors are, that there seems to be a better chance that Boogie Cousins is there game one than Kevin Durant. So they seem to have oversold the Cousins injury, undersold the Durant injury, walking it back. They're hoping to have both players contribute at some point during the course of the NBA Finals. But right now, if you believe what's coming out of Golden State, is that Cousins will be back before Durant.
Getting a Leafs update in my ear from Bilotti. Again, and that might be the most improbable thing of all of these different NBA permutations, is Durant still sitting while Cousins comes back. But you know, I'm not surprised by the Durant angle here, because this was always going to be longer than they were letting on. But we are now in the area, Moose, yeah, of him missing like a bigger chunk of the finals and actually playing in it. And they absolutely can beat either one of these teams from the East without him, but obviously the task is easier with him on the floor. And while I knew he was going to be out for a while, I thought he'd be back ready to roll in the finals, and that's not how we're going right now. So that little part of it is surprising.
Yeah, that is. And now you got a little extra motivation from one of the Warriors stars, is Klay Thompson. He's not part of the top three teams in all NBA, which I think it's a miss. I do. And it's, at this stage, guys do use things to motivate them. So Thompson didn't have. But the other issue is, I don't think Klay Thompson had a particularly spectacular year. I don't think it's this great outlier that say, damn, shame on you for not having being part of the All-NBA team.
No, you could probably make a better case that Bradley Beal should have been on one of these three teams. But they do go two guards, center, two forwards, or two and three. So, I mean, you're saying there are six guards better than those guys. It's not the worst thing in the world. The bigger issue for me is that all of these things intertwine now, where it leads you to more money. The media is voting on these things and covering these things. And so now they have a hand kind of in how much money you can make, and they really shouldn't have that.
They shouldn't have that.
Even small control of that. So, I mean, this is a whole weird situation that the NBA might want to rethink and change in the near future.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Adam Gase responds to Le'Veon Bell trade talk.
Yeah, basically said it's ridiculous. Le'Veon Bell is not going anywhere. Let's hear from Gase talking about his relationship with his new star running back.
He texts me all the time. All that stuff you get on Instagram, I get it first. So that's how I know what he's doing. So he's been great with me as far as contact goes, making sure that I know what he's doing, where he's working out at, where he is, whatever part of the United States he's working out in. I mean, he does a lot of different things as far as who he's working with.
Yeah, what do they have, a tracking device on Le'Veon Bell?
Now, see, I saw a tweet, Diana Rossini, who covers the NFL for ESPN. Yeah. She was covering the Jets yesterday, and she tweeted, not a direct quote, but like a paraphrasing Gase's comment yesterday. And I could not believe, based off her tweet, that was his story, that Lev Bell somehow is running things by Adam Gase before hitting send on social media. So because my thought was, he's not telling Adam Gase, like, hey, coach, just a heads up, I'm going to say something, you know, somewhat controversial about you, the organization, but, it's coming, but it's still coming. Then I heard what he said, and it's a little more palatable. It's his point was, I think, reading between the lines now, hearing it, was that, like, I know he's not here.
I just know where he is.
And I know where he is because he tells me I'm not coming because I'm going to be in Miami doing push-ups. Like, so that's more understandable. I thought Gase originally based on this tweet, was telling me that Lev Bell runs things through him for like pseudo approval, which is completely unbelievable.
Right.
This is more believable.
No, right. It is. Well, you could read into it what you will. I mean, he did kind of paint it in terms of a little bit of both, where he has an idea of what Bell is doing when he's doing it.
Right.
He's got a good relationship. Now, he told both Bell and CJ Mosley, don't believe what you hear in the media, that he didn't want them at the number, at the cap number, and the money being spent on either of those two players.
Although he did kind of confirm that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen. But Le'Veon Bell is not going to him and saying, hey, I'm about to tweet this about...
Yeah, my head coach is a putz.
Right.
And that's you, by the way.
Yeah, what do you think? No, he's not doing that to Adam Gase.
Right, I mean, which googly eye emoji can I use for you,
right,
coach?
You want to talk about control. I mean, that's complete utter control. I don't know what to make of the Jets right now.
or the Mets.
I mean, the Mets at least have won four in a row. The Jets right now, they are a complete utter mess. We'll see where this organization... I mean, clearly... The face of the franchise is the head coach in Gase. He's making
spooky
personnel
face
decisions. He's getting rid of scouts. He looks much better with a hat on than without a hat on. I mean, I would permanently probably try and wear a hat at all times, even a bed if I were Adam Gase. I mean, it is a night and day difference. It really is.
Does he have kids?
He does have children, I believe.
I would assume they're the most well-behaved kids in the neighborhood because one angry look from that.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Here's the other thing. You want to talk about a guy cursing a blue streak. He doesn't mind dropping curses left and right.
I like that, though. I'm a big curser. It's amazing that I haven't cursed on the radio yet, and I've been doing
this
for a while.
In front of your children?
No, not in front of my kids, but if we were just hanging out.
You're dropping F-bombs left and right?
Not left and right, but, every other left, maybe. Sorry.
855.
You want to curse, don't you?
422. No, I do not want to curse. That is your number of call. Your three big headlines of this morning. Gase say he and Lev Bell. Hey, okay, we're fine. We're all good moving forward.
Did the Daily News have Adam Gase's eyes on their back page?
I just saw a picture. They had a picture of Adam Gase's eyes, the look that kills. It was just a picture of Adam Gase's eyes. I mean, it just...
My goodness.
It is amazing. Anyway, your three big headlines. A little health update for Durant and Cousins out in Golden State. Both are maybe not expected to be there game one of the NBA Finals, which get going next Thursday night. But they're hopeful that both will play in the NBA Finals. And Toronto, with the greatest road victory in franchise history last night, winning in Milwaukee. Game six, now back in Toronto, leading 3-2 are the Raptors back at home on Saturday night. And what if you thought games three and four were a crazy atmosphere? Oh, my God. Batten down the hatches up in Toronto now for game six on Saturday night. We'll come back. Could Robert Kraft escape punishment by the National Football League? We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose. Bogish is in the house on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm not going to speculate on the last part about discipline. I think, again, getting all the facts. But, yes, of course, we'll be gathering our own facts and trying to understand what actually transpired, as we would in any case.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, the voice of the commissioner, Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner Roger Goodell, talking about the case surrounding Robert Kraft and the Orchids of Asia, right? And, we all know what happened, right? And a little bit more than just the back rub that he got right before the AFC Championship game out in Kansas City. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, I mean, and Kraft and his legal team have had a couple of court victories because the video of him getting serviced looks like it's going to be inadmissible because it was obtained illegally. Now, a lot of people believe that video at some point in time will get leaked online for public consumption. But that in his legal case, that will not be part of the court case here moving forward. Now, for the National Football League, and you heard the commissioner speak to it a little bit, Andrew, You know, the NFL is, you know, I don't know exactly what they're going to do here. It's behavior that can't be accepted when you look at an NFL owner. It really can't. But I don't know exactly what the commissioner and what other NFL owners are going to try and do to Robert Kraft.
Well, I think this is like other situations we've had with the NFL and other leagues, too, is they are approaching this. They don't want to punish Robert Kraft. Like, they're looking for any way not to, which is why they haven't done anything yet, even though the embarrassment is not going to change, right? I mean, it certainly seems now like he's going to be completely free from the court system soon. Even if he didn't, I mean, he was never going to go to jail for the rest of his life. He was never, you know, it was never going to get to the point, Moose, where he was going to have to give up control of the Patriots. The punishment would be based on really him just kind of embarrassing the Shield, which still exists because we know what happened. He's never really disputed what happened there, and he's basically straight on apologized for it. So, like, they could punish him now absent of a court finality because that's never going to be a thing that was that significant, that major. The real, again, the point of this was,
well, right,
you embarrassed us, here's your punishment. So they could do that now already, and they haven't because they don't want to. They don't want to have to punish him. I think they're hoping for and waiting for the court to go, okay, this is done, we can't do anything else, and then they can just go, we're moving on, no punishment.
Right, and I mean, right, it's the embarrassment of it. I mean, it is a, you know, illegal behavior. You're paying a woman for a sex act. I mean, I don't think he had any knowledge whatsoever, nor, I mean, he's going there to take care of business. No other way to phrase it here on terrestrial radio, but, he had no idea about the sex trafficking ring down in, you know, involving the, you know, Orchids of Asia in a strip mall down in Miami, or down in Florida, I should say. You know, so he doesn't have any kind of knowledge of that. There isn't any bigger than what it is at the surface of it. Now the question is it embarrassing enough here to deserve a suspension by the National Football League? Is that behavior embarrassing enough? Do you need to send a message of what's allowed and what's not allowed? What's the message that's being sent if they do nothing?
Well, the flip side is, this is not a reason to not punish him, but I don't know what punishment would do anything, would accomplish anything, because, you know, when you suspend an owner, what are you suspending him from? Like, sitting in his luxury box? I mean, he's not...
Well, wouldn't it just be a case of making an example of it to other owners in the National Football League?
I mean, I guess, but my thought is, and again, this is me thinking out loud, not trying to say you shouldn't punish him, but the only effect this would have on another owner is making him, if he was engaging in similar activities, I don't know if he would stop it. He would just put more safeguards into play so he couldn't ever be Robert Kraft. Like, maybe if he was going to one of these places in a different area of the country, now he goes, maybe I'll bring the ladies to me so I can vet them and control them, and I know nobody is actually videotaping me here behind my back. I don't know that anyone's having a come-to-Jesus moment and going, I got to clean up my act because
right.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Maybe I'm being a little bit too naive with the scenario. I mean, I would think that, you know, if you're Robert Kraft and you've been embarrassed and called out as he's, you know, reportedly ducking in and out of meetings,
right.
You know, barely addressing the media, and everyone knows that. I mean, he suffered complete embarrassment and shaming.
Yeah.
And if that video should go out, I mean, that would be something that him personally, if that video ever should get leaked out and it's out there for everyone to take in, I mean, that's something that, you know, he'll have to live with for the rest of life. I mean, the sheer embarrassment of that, he'll have to could haunt the man for the haunt anybody for the rest of their lives.
I mean, from the football perspective, what certainly plays in his favor, and I'm not going to hesitate to speak for the entire room of men that I don't know, but my guess is, knowing the way they've operated and knowing men in general, is that the main thought in that room is probably, well, what he did was no big deal. Like, I don't trust anyone in that room to actually see the problems with what happened or didn't happen in this massage parlor. So,
well, SI reached out to an NFC executive and kind of echoed that sentiment. It was asked, do you think Roger Goodell will hand out any kind of suspension to Robert Kraft? And he said, no, nor should he.
Right. Yeah, I know. Again, that's why they're just sitting on this.
Well, there's the general acceptance of it.
Yeah.
Now, is that right or wrong? I mean, you could get into that nature as well. The general acceptance of, what is, I mean, in essence, I mean, it is, you know, prostitution is not legal in Florida. I mean, it is illegal behavior.
Right. But then there's a whole, there are people who would like to have the conversation with you that, assuming it's a completely 100% personal decision, should a woman or a man be allowed to take money for those different things? But that's not
well,
the,
but
on
then
the
you
agenda
get into the semantics of the conversation. I mean,
right.
it is right now. I mean, it is, you have an owner going out and being serviced illegally down at a massage parlor in a strip mall in Florida.
Yeah. See, I mean, to me, and again, not to be flip, I'd rather punish him for being an idiot and being irresponsible and doing this in a way where he could have gotten in trouble as he did. Like, that's to me, like, this is like an idiocy penalty. Like, your business is your business, but like, you can control this situation and put yourself in as little danger as possible. And he chose not to show up in a Bentley and go inside and do God knows what for ever amount of, like, that should be the punishment more so than like the morality of the actual act. It's like him doing something so irresponsible.
Well, I think, and that's fair. And I also think you could wake up and make the argument that he's been punished already. That the fact that he got caught, the sheer embarrassment, being mocked and made fun of for the last few months since this news came down, that, you know, you've even had guys that cover the National Football League to try and provide him cover. I'm still waiting for the other bigger names to come out. That, I believe, was Adam Schefter who said that?
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Who said, you know, Robert Kraft will not be the biggest name that comes out in terms of this investigation of the Orchids of Asia. I'm still waiting for that other great, gigantic name that's going to shock everybody to come out. But I get it. Listen, Schefter's going to say that and going to cover. But you could make the argument that he, just by the fact that he has been called out, publicly shamed, embarrassed, that he suffered enough punishment. That people no longer, listen, whatever you want to say, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, you looked at Robert Kraft completely differently than you look at Robert Kraft now.
Yeah. I mean, but again,
and the perception of him has completely changed.
This is a guy, though, you know, that kind of did the stereotypical man thing after his wife passed away. He starts dating, you know, a beautiful woman half his age, and he's getting her acting.
It's all for love, Andrew.
I know. And then there's the fact, you know, all the things the Patriots did or did not do with footballs and Spygate and whatnot. So he's been through a lot of crap that seems to have just fallen off his back fairly easily over the last decade plus. So I hesitate to know exactly how ashamed and embarrassed and
maybe he's not.
He actually feels
well,
in this
that
situation.
Would be that would be if you have a pulse, you'd have to be embarrassed.
Yeah, probably. But I guess maybe the length of the embarrassment is the issue. Like, you might be embarrassed until lunchtime.
Well, then go out and address the media. Don't be ducking in and out of meetings.
He did once, right? Didn't he say one time?
Barely.
Kind of apologize.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those half-hearted apologies.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't the full-on responsibility. Let's head out to Youngstown, Ohio. It's Zach at CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Zach?
Not much. How are you, Moose?
Good, Zach. What's on your mind, bud?
Well, I was just calling in. I heard you talking about Robert Kraft and the prostitution scandal that's going on with the Patriots. But what about Jim Irsay and the briefcase of cocaine? And the NFL did absolutely nothing about that.
Right. That kind of goes back to my point originally. Like, they don't want to punish these guys.
Well, no, Irsay was suspended.
When
he got pulled over for the DUI, Irsay was suspended. I thought he got eight games.
He was suspended, which, again, to me is an odd punishment for an owner. Right. Who's like,
well, you can't force them to sell the team.
No, I know.
The NFL did something.
Right.
I'm not telling you that meant anything. I mean, what you hoped is that Irsay is going to clean up his life. But yeah, I mean, they did hand out whatever, as big of a punishment as they could. I think they fined him and handed him out an 8-game suspension.
Right. And there was, what was his name in Detroit, right? That got in trouble, I think, for a DUI. And again, it's a suspension of a guy who just hangs out in an office all day and is not necessarily making day-to-day decisions on things. So what actually is the suspension? I think the Irsay issue is, it certainly seemed like he could have been up to more devious things that wouldn't then have matched the punishment from the NFL. The NFL maybe should have taken that more seriously or looked deeper into that, or however you want to phrase it. But it just, to me, it all connects to the fact that the last thing they want to do is put one of these guys in timeout.
Well, and
so they're hoping they don't have to.
Listen,
at all costs.
And I'm not telling you, I'm not sitting here on my high horse on this Friday morning telling you that Robert Kraft deserves or has to get suspended by the National Football League. I personally feel the latest argument or vantage point I gave you, Bogish, is kind of how I feel. I mean, if he's got a pulse, I mean, I think he's gone through enough of being mocked out, of people making fun of him, of not being able to avoid it, the back page headlines, people making a mockery of Kraft. I think all of that has kind of, I think it's been punishment enough. And I'm not making light of prostitution. I'm not making light of sex trafficking, anything like that. I'm just talking about his instance, his involvement in it. I'd be surprised if the NFL hands down anything. I really do. But you also get into the factor it is the Patriots. You get into the fact that the Kraft-Goodell relationship is non-existent. And there are some in, you could talk to one league executive and say you'd be surprised if Sports Illustrated did. But there are a lot of executives in the National Football League that are tired of the quote-unquote New England way as well. And like the fact that Brady got called out and Belichick got called out and all of this. And I know this is completely different, but I'm sure those individuals had a smile on the face when this story came out involving Robert Kraft.
Yeah, and they probably would end up siding with you, though, in terms of the embarrassment of this and the fact that he's like a creepy old man and you can hang this over his head and make jokes and whatever. Like, that is the punishment. Because, like, what, in all honesty, and again, I don't say this to support the NFL's, the slowness and all of this, or to say that they shouldn't punish him. But whatever, if they do punish him, whatever it is, 3 games, 6 games, a six-figure fine, until we get to an actual football punishment, if they were to take a draft pick away, I don't even know if they're allowed to do that, but like that would be a punishment. A suspension, a fine, none of those things are really going to matter to him, and they're not going to change I'm not going to sit back and go, oh, okay, they got him, now he's paid the price. So like, I almost don't care what they do because
it doesn't really affect it.
It's not going to do
unless
anything.
Unless you affect the football operations,
right,
which would be taking a draft pick away. And they're not going to do that.
No, and I don't even know if they could, but if they could, I don't expect them to. And shy of that, it's not going to make, whatever they do is not going to make me feel like he paid the price for being whatever he is for doing that.
All right, you got anything going on in the world of sports? You got an update for us?
We haven't done an update yet.
No, we have not.
I completely forgot. Of course I do, Moose.
All right,
it's all sponsored by NHTSA. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Click it or ticket, paid for by NHTSA. They fell into an immediate 18-4 hole last night in Game 5 in Milwaukee, but the Raptors recovered quickly, actually leading midway through the second quarter. Then they survived a tight fourth to steal a 105-99 W and a 3-2 series lead. Their head coach, Nick Nurse.
As much as you want to try to prepare them for the speed of the game at the start. Sometimes it's just so much energy in the building that you're going to have to withstand some of that sometimes, and I thought we did.
It also helped that Kawhi Leonard scored 15 of his 35 in that final period. Toronto grabbed 5 offensive rebounds, leading to 8 points in that fourth quarter against the best defensive rebounding team in the league. Those Bucks have now lost 3 in a row for the first time this season. Now they have to stay alive in Toronto tomorrow night. There was a tiny bit of good news for Giannis yesterday, a second first-team All-NBA selection in a row, which makes Giannis eligible for the largest contract in league history next summer, 5 years and $247 million.
Wow.
Curry, Harden, George, and Jokic complete that first-team All-NBA.
That'll soften the loss.
Yeah, I think so. And as we've discussed this morning, LeBron has reportedly spoken already with Kawhi and Jimmy Butler about signing with the Lakers this summer. Unconfirmed reports that this was their response. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones doesn't expect league discipline for Ezekiel Elliott for his run-in with a security guard at a music festival in Vegas last weekend, and 7 teams reportedly interested in free agent D-tackle Gerald McCoy. He is visiting the Browns today. A slow night on the diamond, but not for Rays' Kevin Kiermaier.
Swing and a fly ball to the gap in left center field. Chasing it is Martin, and they can't get it. He and Mercado come together, and they are down. The ball skips away to left field. Kiermaier around second. He's on his way to third. He's going to be waved home. It's going to be an inside-the-park homer, a three-run homer, and the Rays have a 6-0 lead.
On Rays Radio, a three-run inside-the-park homer. Tampa Bay a 7-2 win eventually in Cleveland. Oscar Mercado involved in that collision, left the game shortly afterwards with a sore right hip, but should be fine. Big picture. The good injury news for Cleveland, Corey Kluber's broken arm no longer in a cast. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Moose?
All right, 855-212-4CBS, your number to call. Quick question. Do you ever go suit, no socks?
You're asking me?
Yes.
No. Got to have socks for a suit.
Yeah, Greenberg right now.
I see it.
No socks. Terrible.
I always have socks on. Now, I have socks on today that you can't see.
No, I understand you always have socks.
But he's
got to
have socks
on. Obviously gone the loafer.
Yeah, barefoot loafer, not for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I understand looking trendy, looking good. I don't like that look. No.
And I like my legs. My legs are my only good physical quality. I would prefer to show them off, but not in a suit with loafers.
Come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Taz and the Moose on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Phil out in Green Bay. Has Kristaps Porzingis become more of a headache than a help? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Now, you know, we know, we saw the video, TMZ had it outside a Latvian bar where he got jumped by, according to those in the know, a couple of Russians that were upset that Porzingis forced his way out of New York. And now you're hearing more reports about that meeting that he had with the Knicks, where he was promptly then traded 4 or 5 hours later to the Dallas Mavericks, where basically he said that I guess the Knicks basically, he threatened to go back and play in Europe.
Yeah.
If the Knicks didn't trade him. And now he's a member of the Mavericks. Listen, he's a wonderful talent. Maybe all this success has gone to his head a little bit here, Bogish. I think he leaves an untenable situation in New York with the Knicks. I think anybody can be driven a little crazy when you play in that franchise. Especially during the days when he was, maybe not as much now with Fizdale, Mills and company and Perry. I think all those guys seem to be on the same page before that during the Phil days. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass. I still think he's a wonderful talent that if he's able to stay healthy, Porzingis and Doncic down in Dallas could be really scary.
Yeah. I think the Knicks remain the wild card in all this. Like maybe at the very, very end, he mishandled things and maybe was a little bit too much of a diva, but it began with what I assume was valid issues with this mayhem of an organization.
Yeah.
So if the Mavericks aren't the Knicks, and I assume that they're not because Mark Cuban seems to not be James Dolan and seems to make most decisions for the good of the organization trying to win basketball games, I think Porzingis will be okay, and I think they'll be okay. Because I just don't see the same kind of drama being repeated, which may lead him to be a punk in a way that you're thinking he is right now. But again, I think it started with things that were out of his control, and he had very valid issues with the Knicks and the organization.
There you go. Let's get to it. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Pete, we've hit a lot, addressed a lot here on this Friday morning. What do you got?
All right, there's reports out there that James Harden and Chris Paul got into a verbal altercation after Game 6. Has the window closed on the Rockets potentially winning a title?
Yeah, I think, honestly, number one, we got to see what happens in free agency this July. I would address the question initially that way. At the face of it, how are the Rockets exactly going to get better? They're locked into Paul, who's only getting worse and is getting older. You've got Harden. The talent around those two players, you can't really do all that much in free agency because you don't have all that much money to spend here, Bogish. I think you can look at it, and I could probably make the argument the best chance was 2 years ago. They had another opportunity this year. That
right.
Paul injury last year killed him. I think if Paul stayed healthy, they would have beaten Golden State. He didn't. They didn't. and they were terrible. I mean, missed their first 27 shots from behind the arc in Game 7. But I think I think the window probably has closed on Houston.
Yeah, and then you factor in the Warriors that maybe negate anything that Houston could actually do this offseason. But, you know, I think there's a conversation, too, to be had about Mike D'Antoni, the way he wants to play, the way they want to play, whether it's good enough to get through Golden State or anybody else, get through four full rounds to win the whole thing. Paul's the guy that I would begin the overhaul or the changes with, but whether or not you can actually move him, what you can get back for him is obviously the big question there. But yeah, they need to do something significant this offseason personnel-wise because what they have right now isn't good enough to win the West.
All right, next.
Little baseball, gentlemen. The Nationals just got swept by the Mets. When does the axe fall on Dave Martinez?
You know, when does it, not only on Martinez, when does it fall on Rizzo?
Never.
How does he become so Teflon as the Nationals general manager? He has failed to put any kind of consistent bullpen together for years. Their bullpen this year, and Doolittle's been okay to good, their bullpen this year is an absolute cluster, you know what.
Yeah.
They lose Harper in free agency. Yes, they're still young talent, but do you believe in Rizzo's vision here? He gave Patrick Corbin 6 years, $140 million. I think Dave Martin, as one columnist down in Washington put it, Dave Martinez is a good guy, but he should no longer be managing the Washington Nationals. I think he's dead on correct. And Rizzo's the one that had the quick trigger. Should have fired Matt Williams, agree with that. Had too quick of a trigger on Dusty Baker.
Yeah, that decision looks worse by the day, by the loss. And Dusty certainly has his warts as a manager, but I think they'd be closer to 500.
With Dusty?
With Dusty as manager right now. I think, I could be wrong, but this is where experience matters, trying to coax games and wins out of a team struggling that maybe Davey just can't do right now.
And I think that set the onus downward for this organization, how he handled managers, the expectations, and not even, if you go back a number of years ago, not going for it when they shut down Strasburg as
right.
well.
Right. Another terrible decision that Rizzo was right front and center for. The bigger conversation of, Scott Boras kind of being the puppet and controlling things and Rizzo constantly signing his guys.
Yeah.
And then Harper leaves. It's a bad, but they do have, man, Soto and Robles. I am so jealous of those two young outfielders.
Yeah, they're great.
Everybody should have at least one of them. They've got two. They're not a bad offensive team.
They're not a bad offensive team.
But the pitching, obviously, is the issue, and they're trying. Javi Guerra, I think, is the last guy brought in, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The bullpen's just an absolute train wreck. All right, next.
Wow!
Our friend Randy Cross tweeted this out, that pizza might be healthier to eat for breakfast than most cereals, citing a report from a newspaper in New York that a nutritionist said that pizza contains more fat and much less sugar than most cold cereals. Are you eating pizza for breakfast tomorrow morning?
Now I am.
If you buy it, I'll eat it.
I mean, if Randy Cross says it, it must be true.
Yeah. I mean, he's played in the Super Bowls.
Yeah, no doubt. Plus, he's trimmed off a lot of weight. I'll believe in the Randy Cross diet. I mean, it's not like he's gotten bigger. It's not like he's Nate Newton now. you almost look at Randy Cross and say, wait a second, you played center for the San Francisco 49ers? And he looks great. I'm not saying he looks bad. He looks great.
I have a feeling he's not eating pizza.
I mean,
for
now I could go home and breakfast. Tell my wife, Donna, listen, there's a new report out there. Randy Cross hammered it home. We can always start. I can start eating cold pizza at 8 o'clock in the morning. What do you got to have? No, I don't want bacon and eggs. Heat up a slice of that cold cheese.
Yeah. I feel like, P.S., you should probably have, egg whites and avocado. That's probably still your best bet for breakfast.
All right.
But head-to-head, 1v1, pizza versus Fruity Pebbles, if pizza wins, fine by me.
Yeah. Fruity Pebbles is delicious. Oh. All right, next.
Ooh. No next.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Good job.
Good job, Pete.
Before we go, obviously, we'll join you, Andrew and myself, on Memorial Day Monday. But for those this weekend, obviously the people look at it as the unofficial kickoff to summer, heading toward the beaches and everything across the country, lakes, whatever it might be, enjoying friends, family, and barbecue. But also remember those that have served our country, all the servicemen and women that have lost our lives for the way that we live and the enjoyments that we have of being Americans, those that put their lives on the line each and every day. This weekend is really for them.
Well said, Moose.
Bogus, great job.
You too. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Sam, Pete, fantastic across the way. Everybody, until we rejoin you on Monday, enjoy your weekend. Till then, peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.